You were moving around, as you say, at the edge of the tree of the village itself, and you were saying there were about five of you. What happened next?
Right, well, being a bit, I'd say we're all a little bit shocked by this time, and we said, right, well, we'll go ahead and we'll try and get up to this next building, which appeared to be a farmyard or whatever, farm. And anyway, we were sort of discussing this, and I said, come on, we better move. Don't get standing there, lying here, rather. Let's move, because we're just going to get in trouble. So I got the lads to stand. I was just going to get stand up, and I saw these, this big body come from nowhere, as far as I was concerned. And when I looked up at him, he looked about 7 foot tall. And a magnificent sight of a soldier for, well, not to us at the time. But then he said, no, who's the officer in charge here?
And this was the German?
This was the German, yes, in better English than I speak.
Officer, was he?
Oh, yes, oh, no, he was, sorry. He was a major, I believe, if I remember rightly. And very well spoken, quite a handsome guy, he was quite something. And he said, well, you're not going anywhere, you better come with us. And he then asked who was the officer in charge. And, well, I was the sergeant, that was it. And he said, but I always remember saying, you were young for a sergeant. And I said, oh, yes, sir. No, sir. Three back four, sir, nearly, you know. And but he was very, very professional.
And what regiment or unit did he belong to?
Well, as I've thought before, it was the Panzer Grenadiers that we did find out later. I mean.
And he had other of his men with him, didn't he?
Yes, oh, yes. That was right. He said, don't do nothing silly because you're completely surrounded. He says, you are surrounded, and just follow us this way. And we went down towards the farmyard, and he then led us to, went down another little lane sort of thing, and we ended up, I thought it was a small copse, and there was quite a few Germans there, and they'd obviously, they're all sort of tidying the weapons up, one thing or another, so this must have been a part of the people who had withdrawn then from round the edge of the field.
Before we go further, you've come through a pretty harrowing experience across the cornfield, and now you're suddenly in German hands. It must have been a pretty devastating effect upon you. And how did you feel at the moment when that you just look up and there's a German with his men and the guns on you?
To be fair, I think that was so fast. I felt a bit annoyed at myself, really. But then again, I think we're all in a shambles. We were in a shambles. There's no getting away from it. I mean, and the thing is, there's so many of them, really, there. That, and when we were surrounded, there's no malice at all with him. I'd say very gentlemanly, really. And he marched us down to that. But I think we're all shook up, really. But I think we were quite cool, really, considering what we've gone through. I mean, and I must admit that as a bloodbath went, it was a thing that I thought all the way along of seeing blood, and I mean, we saw plenty that day, blood, guts, and what have you, the lot, and I was amazed at how cool I really was, I've got to be honest, because I had this fear inside me, how am I going to react to see people that, you know, the guts hanging out and all this and the other, you know, and things like this, you know, I mean, that always worried me. And how you would react, and I was amazed at how cool it really was, and I felt very cold, and the thing that kept coming up in my mind, you will survive, and it cannot happen to you, because there's posters all over saying, before we went on, it can happen to you, you know, and you saw people get blown up, that used to think, no, it damn well can't, and that's the way I felt. And anyway, we were ushered, we just ambled with them, and we were just walking along with them, and that was it. And then we eventually come into, obviously, a clearing where they'd been for a while. And when we got back, we shared their sort of, not dugouts, but they were well dug in. You know, they were pretty well, not trenches, you couldn't say that, but they were sort of well, just well dug in. It was as easy as that, I mean.
Have you any idea of how far this was from the village and from the rest of the action?
I said probably about what would have been? Wait a minute. We'd have been travelling westerly, wouldn't we? Yes, we'd be going west. So as I said, east of the village. Yeah, I'd say yeah, east of the village. And as I say, but that was it seemed pretty fairly wooded. You know, I don't mean lots of woods, but plenty of place you could hide. You know.
You didn't have feelings that they were going to shoot you for anything.
No, that never passed my mind, I must admit. No. I just felt that these guys were... You just felt that they were soldiers. You know what I mean? And you know what I mean? You didn't see any hate in them or nothing. You know, it was just sort of, well, tough luck, lad, you know. Or yes, I think there's mutual respect on both sides. For some reason or other, I think with these guys, these were older than I was. In other words, they'd be probably 30s. They'd become much more mature. You know, and I mean, I think they'd obviously seen a lot of action, I'd have thought. Well, anyway, I found out later they had seen a lot of action because we got, so we had the company of them for another day after that. A night and then a day.
But what did they do with you? You got to this position and they were there. What happened to you?
Well, we should, yes, well, what happened? They didn't really guard us as such, really, to be fair. I mean, we had no weapons.
Did they search you?
No, no, never searched you. No, property at all, no. And, in fact, in lots of cases, they were sort of, we would be with a bunch of about 10 of them. And, they sort of just kept filling their own time in, really, walking up and down. And these sort of, not a hill, but a sort of, it wasn't a barrier even, you know. But it was sort of below the normal level of ground. And.
Could you hear the fighting going on?
Oh, yes, oh, yeah, yeah. You get all the sporadic firing all the while, you know.
You were unmolested.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we found that one or two were speaking English, and they'd sort of come up and sort of. All right. It sounds daft, really. It seems unbelievable. But there was never no... Oh, there was only one guy who really pushed. And he would be... But mine, even the others, they sort of shoot him away. Yeah, obviously, they shoot him away. I mean, there was only one who seemed a bit nasty, really, you know, and the other guy sort of... And the officer came up at one time and said something to him, and he was away. I mean, that was the officer that we... And then the major came over to me and he said, you know, started questioning me on things, and I said, I don't know what's going on, anybody else here? And he said, you've been very clever or naive or something. I said, possibly naive, sir. And he asked one or two things, how old you were, you know, what battalion and all this and the other. Well, they knew what battalion we were, all right. And but as I say, he didn't even really, you know, he said who's to your left and who's to your right. I don't know, just Americans on the right, so that was Canadians on the left, I think, something like that. And that was all. There's no serious, really. And he said, oh, that's all right, I understand. The first time you've been in action like this, and you know, you've had a horrendous day, and we've, you know, what we did was we were defending the best we could, you know. He really was. He said, of course, you know, he says, I was educated in Oxford. And I can believe that his accent was really fantastic. You know, really. In fact, I say he spoke better English than what we did. And all in all, and then...
Did he comment upon the method of the attack that you'd made?
He actually said he was rather amazed that we walked through there the way we did, and he says I didn't think that you would have come through the way you did. He said, because to me, well, we walked into it, you know, and well, we walked into it. I mean, we didn't have to be told, you know. But then again, I mean, but he wasn't sort of gloating or nothing like that. It was a matter of fact, ice cool sort of approach to it, and. As I say, he just asked me a few questions, and he said, what do you think of war? And, you know, I always remember saying, what do you think of war? And I said, well, I haven't seen much of it yet, have I? He said, no, not really. And he said, were you on the D-Day? I said, oh, yes, came over on D-Day. And that was it. He says, yeah, yes. Really, it was just chit-chat, to be honest with you. There's no, I don't think he was being clever. I don't think he was trying to pump anything out of us. And then he did say to me, he said, well, we have got problems. And sort of, you know, we have problems. He said, we would have sent you back. He said, but unfortunately, every time we send an ambulance back, he says, the Americans strap us. He says, so you won't be going back today, young man. He says, you won't be going back to Germany today. That was the reason. He says, with your comrades.
Were any of your men, were you all
safe?
You weren't wounded?
No, there's none of us wounded, no.
Did they feed you and water you?
Well, from what I can see, we were just lying around, and all of a sudden somebody throw you a piece of horrible bread or something, or a coffee. I mean, we'd have drank anything anyway. We were just having coffee. I hated bloody coffee, but I mean, after that, you took anything they were kind enough to give you, really, to be fair. But they weren't very good with us, really. But I don't think they had much themselves anyway. There was no.
You weren't carrying anything yourselves, were
no,
you?
No.
Had you gone into action basically just with your...
Just as you were. I can't remember any stuff. No. I think... Oh, I had a light pack. But that was with a bit of gun cotton and stuff in there. But I think I must have disposed of that because I certainly hadn't got it when I was with them.
Were they in good spirits, these Germans?
Yes. But man, they were rough mind. I mean, obviously very... I would say we were smarter when it comes to being shaven than what they were. They looked as though they had been unshaven probably for days, you know, where I think our officers were, at 19, just 19 years old. I mean, all I got was bum fluff, really. I mean, really speaking, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, me, I have a shave. I could have gone for a week without a shave.
Were you becoming a little bit worried?
Well, I was wondering how we were going to get out. And the officer did say to me, he says, oh, by the way, don't break. He told me, he says, don't run for it. He says, Sergeant, you know, keep hold of the... And then I always remember saying, I haven't found it very hard to believe you're a sergeant. And I put my hand in my pocket and pulled my stripes out. That really tickled him, that did. That really tickled him. And I said, I think the lads are good to know running today. And as I say, there's no way we've got nowhere to run anyway. We wouldn't know which way to run it in the first place anyway.
He didn't give you his name.
No, that was a sad. He did say at one time, but I've forgotten. I'll come to this later, because as we sort of tucked ourselves in for the night.
Was this under the stars?
Oh, yeah, so I was under the stars, all right. And
had you moved from the original spot by then, or were you still in this position?
No, we're still in the same position, yeah. Still in the same position.
This is the night.
That's right. And through the night was one hell of a long night, because there was a little bit of a disturbance. And he did say he was going out later with a small patrol. He said he was leading that one. And mind, having said that, he was back within an hour and a half. And, he obviously did not make any comments to me. But when he came back, he did come and sort of come and lie down. Well, he says, yes, you're pretty well. You've got some stuff over there. That was it. You know, he says, obviously, there's plenty of stuff landing on the beaches, you know. And
did you feel that these were isolated from the main German force?
Yes, I thought they were.
Pretty close to where the action in the village was going on.
That's right.
Far away.
That's
so
right.
In the sense of probably being cut off themselves.
You've hit it really on the nail there on that one, because after we'd had a very, he come round and he actually brought me some horrible coffee. Or it was warm. That was the main thing. I mean, then again, it tasted all right, because if we drank our own tea, it was really awful anyway, wasn't it? And he said, you probably prefer tea. I said, drink anything, son. He said, there's not much sugar in there. Not much sugar. There wasn't any sugar in it, you know. And it was a black ersatz coffee. And I mean, I'd never had it before. And I said, oh, this is a first. He said, you've had a lot of firsts today, Sergeant. And he sort of looked at it as probably a little lad, you know, really, come think about it, you know, which, you know.
Well, this first night, you say, was a pretty restless night.
Yeah.
What happened next to you?
Well, there was, as I said before, some sort of firing going on, and then they sent a small patrol out, but as I say, they only, it must have gone, I mean, back within an hour and a half, or whatever. Would be an hour and a half, because I think I more or less did check on my watch at the time. And I'll say nobody ever bothered to take me watch or nothing like that. But that's all we had anyway, I'd only got a watch on anyway. And then we went through the night, and then early next morning, if I remember rightly, I think there was quite a barrage came over. And that was a bit horrendous, that was, because it was one of the creeping barrages that, you know, they did put up. And that was not nice, that one. In fact, I thought, hey, if these lads are around this all the while, no wonder they're not shaving. And then I began to realise that how heavy we had been shelling them and strafing them. And if I remember rightly, hey, I couldn't this one. Was when we were there, they did come an American plane over and he did strafe us, and that was he sort of went right the way down one and came back down the other. And I thought at the time, well, he's pretty close for strafing for our own lads, because we weren't that far away from our lads, and we knew we weren't far away. And then probably about midday, he come up with he actually brought a coffee up, and one or two of the corporals gave our lads a drink. But the major himself came up to me and he gave me this drink. He said, would you like some strong stuff in it? I said, no, thank you. And thanks. I said, no. I said, drink doesn't bother me that much. And he says, well, he had a drink of Calvados, if I remember rightly. Yes, Calvados. And he said, well, if you want a drink, there's one there. He said, because he said, I want to talk to you. And I said, yes. And I mean, I was polite with him. I said, but he was equally as polite to me. And I said, yes, sir, what's the problem? He said, well, he said, I'm not going to be able to get you back through the German lines. He said, I told you last night about the strafing that was going on. He says, it's strafing the ambulances and all this and the other. You know, he says, you know, this thing just go on in war. And then he said, well, I've been thinking that if we surrendered to you, well, I nearly died on the spot. I said, pardon? You surrendered to us. He said, well, he says, if you'll go out there, he says, and take one or two of your men and you can wave a white flag of some implement, you know, and walk back. He says, I'll guarantee there'll be nobody will fire on you from this end. Anyway, he says, finish your coffee and I'll be back in a minute. He says, have a word with your men. And we went away and he came back in about 10 minutes or something. He came back and he said, hello, Herr Sergeant. He said, have you thought about it? Yes, I don't like it. And he says, well, he said, I know, I can understand. And he sort of laughed about it. He said, well, what do you suggest? I said, well, I suggest if you're going to give yourself up, that you come with me and two or three of your men. And two of our men. I said, so there'll be three of each, roughly. I said, if you like, we'll all wear, you know, we'll have to have something white, obviously, because they were surrendering. He said, well, I hadn't figured on that. He said, I'm a bit nervous about that too. I said, so am I. I said, because I don't think we'd have much. I said, after yesterday's little game. He says, yes, he says, I've thought about that. He says, yes, he says, you're quite right. He says, they could be very much on edge. And anyway, off he went again. He says, I'll see you a bit later on. And then I think it was about an hour or so he came back. He says, look, I've given some thought to that. He said, there you are. And he gave me his pistol. He says, does that show my feelings? I said, well, yes. And he, you know, he got his pay book out, or his army book of some sort out, and and I wish I'd really read it, but I don't know. I think there's too much going on, really. And I gave them back. I said, "Well, I said, you know, you better keep that." He said, "Well, I did think you might want to go out there and show them this, and then come back again." I said, "No, I said I don't think that'd be a very good idea coming back in again." I said, "Because if your men are touchy the same as ours will be, then it won't be a very good idea." I said, "I think I'll go for that. We all go out together." I said, "The six of us or whatever." So he went away again. He'll come back in a few minutes. He says, "Okay, Sergeant, I agree with what you're saying." He said, "I'll go with it." And he that's when he gave me the pistol on the second time back. And I sort of got up, and he brought some white cloths out and just stuck it on the end of, well, in our case, it was like sticks, just where we had our guns taken off us. And everybody tied this thing on, and we just marched out. And I thought we were stopped by, I thought it was a Scot. I thought the Scots that we just was a little bit nervous, because, I mean, and I had a hell of a job convincing the corporal that met us down the road. You know, when we walked quite a while, actually. We must have walked about a quarter of a mile, I think, down this road, and then we were stopped. And, because it was a bit hairy, really, because there's the odd shots going around, you know, he's sort of, you know, and they were, but there wasn't, like, it was fairly quiet. And we eventually come across this, I'm sure they were Scots. And anyway, they pulled us up, and in the end, the guy tried to make out that I was a German, because I was very, very fair. And he thought we were just pulling a fast one, you know. Then in the end, I said, "Look, send for your officers," which they did. And anyway, two officers come up, and we convinced them, and then all of a sudden, that was no bother. We told them what happened, you know, obviously the cornfield and all this and the other, that we've been taken prisoner. And I said, "Now, if you let me go in, now back, I'll bring out the remainder of the Germans." So they all sort of laid back, and I brought out, there's a lot. There could have even been two. I'd have thought, probably 100 or more men. And out they came, and that was...
Was that more than you thought?
Yeah. Because they just cut that. And I'm sure it's hard to tell, but it could be 100. You know what I mean? And they just lied down, and we walked out. And I always remember being met by a Sergeant Naylor who stuck onto us.
Yeah.
And he was, I think he was out of C Company, and he was a Cockney. But he's a small guy. He was much smaller than me. He was very slim. But he was, I think, an old soldier from... a pre-war soldier. I think and I think he'd been in the desert as well, if I remember rightly.
And he was with the battalion?
He was with the 9th, yeah. And I knew him by sight. And that was it. And then the next thing is I was back with what was the remains of what was left of the C Company. And the five lads, Lou Turner. Yes, Lou Turner was with us. He was a lance corporal, and then, that's right, Corporal Woods was a full corporal. Yeah, coming back to me now. But I can't for hell remember who the other two were.
But was this, the position you came from, and were walking down, as you say, you met the Scots, was that back towards the village?
Yes, back towards the village that was, yeah. And we just joined the company up the what was left.
And there was no problems. Everyone did give up. Why? I mean, Panzer Grenadiers have a reputation basically for almost fighting to the last. Why do you think they had surrendered?
I think they were cut off. I think they were cut off completely. And I think they were very low on rations anyway. I think they realised it was a pretty futile position they were in, really. I think it would have just been another massacre after another thing. There'd been no. I don't think as they said, they couldn't get nothing out. They obviously couldn't get nothing in. Because they certainly didn't overfeed us. And as it, well, I wouldn't expect to be overfed anyway. I mean, after it was. I mean, I was surprised they even gave us an odd whatever he gave us. like bread.
When you went back, you went back on your own?
No, I went back with a corporal. Yes, I think I went with one of these who I thought was, and we just went back, and they were waiting for us, the Germans, and they just waltzed back in, and that was it. And oh, and the officer came and shook me by the hand, and he said, "Thank you." He says, "And I hope everything goes well for you in the coming years." You know, and that was it. And I thought how gentleman he really was, but he certainly was a gentleman. There's no, and it upset me that I didn't know his name.
They lay down their arms.
Oh, yes. That's right. Totally an arm, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they were, really. And as I say, well, that was it. And then we just joined up with where we left off, really, except there's a lot of new faces. I mean, I went back and there's nobody new. Yeah, that was when I think when this is when I misunderstood you. I don't remember having a rest. that was within the rest when we all brought. That's right, because a lot of new faces, and that was it. And
there must have been some questions as to where you've been and what had happened.
Funny or not, I don't think anybody asked a bloody question. Now that amazed me. In fact, I've never talked about it at all, really, about this thing. And this is why when you spoke to me, it just came out. I mean, I told Lynn. But, you know, these are things that you can't... I mean, if I'd have told my son this, or anything like this, I don't think they'd believe you. They just think you're telling little stories, you know. I mean, you know, I must admit, I was never really fair with my lad. I'd say to him, look, Errol Flynn and I won the war. A little joke we had. And when my son went to school, he told the school teacher, and I used to tell him some of the daftest stories. Oh, yes. I think from all sorts of regiments as well. I mean, yes, there were...
you had a new commanding officer now, who was the...
Ah, no. I probably heard about it at the time, because, I mean, obviously I knew Colonel Wood had gone, that was it. And, of course, Jack Williams had gone. And that's when, oh, no, then I couldn't remember what the next officer we got. I know we did have him, and he was... He was a lieutenant, and damned if I remember his name, because I'd only been out with him for, because about 2 days after, he stood on a shoe mine. And he'd shouted, but he was very young. And he sort of said, excuse me. And he says, I think I've got something here. And I went over. And he says, I think I'm on a shoe mine. Well, I dug it out from under his foot. And I remember his leg was starting to shake. And he says, it's going to blow my leg off. I said, if you don't stop shaking, I said, it'll be blowing my head off. My head was down there. And this one, we sort of have a little laugh at each other. Well, laugh.